Don't raise your hand, but how many of you honestly trust is something that you struggle with? This morning when we talk about trust, and we're in this series called Life Apps, and I'll kind of touch base with that here in just a second, but when I'm talking trust today, because, you know, we should trust God, there's no question, but today I'm not going to be talking about trusting God. I'm going to be talking about trusting other people. Those special people, those relationships in your life, your spouse, your kids, your family, your coworkers, people in your church, and that's a big deal. And some people may say, well, Pastor Ronald actually says not to trust people like that because you put your faith in people fail you, right? I mean, the Bible actually talks about that, and that's true. But when you look at the context of that scripture, the whole point and basis of that is not to put more trust in people than you do in God. Because God will never fail you, but people will. But for you to experience the relationships that you need, the way God intends for you to experience them, like me and my wife, for us to have the relationship that God intends for us to have, we have to trust each other. It's really no different than you and God in your relationship with God. For you to have the relationship with God that he intends, you have to trust him. Because there's sometimes, just like in giving right there, you know, we talked about giving. You've got to trust to give big, right? And when I say big, I'm not talking dollar signs. I'm talking, you know, what's big to you individually. But in saying that, there comes an element of trust when you're sitting there and God speaks something to you to give, and maybe it's giving money, maybe it's giving your time, maybe it's going and giving somebody, you know, some food or whatever. You've got to trust God. Because God has spoken to me and probably many of you in many situations that you just sit back and go, boy, God, are you sure? Are you really sure? Because, I don't know if I can do this. And there's an element of trust to build that relationship. So today, we're going to kind of dive into that as we continue this whole thing called Life Apps. And this is all about application. It goes back to James chapter 1, verse 22, and this is our series verse. And it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Because a lot of times when we just hear, you come in here on Sunday mornings or you pick up your Bible throughout the week and, or you read your Bible on your phone or your tablet and you're like, you know, you're reading it. And you're downloading all of this stuff, but then sometimes we don't actually apply it to our life. And so don't just merely listen and deceive yourself, but do what it says. And that's really where all of this takes place, application. It's kind of like this. By a show of hands, and I don't mean, you know, and just, you know, how many of you in the last year, let's just say in the last year, have done one of the following: have purchased a treadmill or a piece of exercise equipment, have joined the gym, or have read a book about dealing with health or diet or something of the sort. How many? And I'm how many of you? Okay. Okay. So here's the deal. Okay. Here's the deal. Okay. Isn't it interesting that when you go in and say you tour that gym for the first time, or when, you know, you hook that treadmill up, or you're reading that book for the first time and you get all excited about this stuff. And I mean, and come on, we really do. And, you know, especially as parents, you know, we go through this thing and we're going to do this and we're going to work out, and we're going to change our diet. And your kids are really freaking out because you're throwing all the sugar in the house away. And they're just like, what are you doing? You know, that is no. You know, I did that with my snack cakes one time. And you guys remember the snack cakes? Some of you still buy me those and give them to me. And I don't buy them anymore, okay? I don't. But really, seriously, but do you know what you felt when you toured the gym? When you listen, you begin to feel healthier. And I know you did. You know why? Because I did. I've done that many times in my life when I go through these phases, and most of the time I'm pretty active, but I go through these busy phases like I've been in the last 3-4 months or so, and my physical workout stuff is just really, it's just been bad. But you know, you go to these things and it's like, you buy the treadmill and you put it in your car and you're like, you already feel healthier. Or we hook it up and it's in the house. And it's just like we see it every day. We don't touch it, quite like Travis touched it last week. But we feel healthier. But come on, we know that that's not true. Now, I did say a few weeks ago, people that think, remember when I talked about that? If you think about getting stronger, you actually get stronger. Okay, there's an element to that that is true. That's proven. But if you want to take it to the level that you're supposed to take it to, we have to apply ourselves. We got to get on it. Or get in the gym, or actually change the diet, do whatever all that stuff goes through. There is application that goes with it. Let's look at it this way. Coming to church makes most of us feel better. It does. It makes us feel better. It's positive. And you know what? It should make us feel better. But if we aren't applying the applications that we learn in church to our lives, then is it really helping us spiritually the way it was intended? Now, that's a pretty deep question, okay? And I mean, and so you think, I want us to think about this morning. We start talking about application again, okay? And now listen, church is important. Be here. But it's more than just coming and sitting down. It's more than just listening to me babble while my head's swimming in circles. It's more than just singing songs that we put on a screen. It is taking what God speaks to us through His Word and through worship and through fellowship and friendships and all of this stuff and applying it to our lives in a way that makes us spiritually healthier. And so today, like I said, it's about trust, not between you and God, but between you and others relationally. And trust is tough. It can take a lifetime. It can take a lifetime, okay, to give that trust away, okay, to give somebody trust, to trust somebody, but that can be taken away in a moment. I mean, really, you can work and work and work and work to build that trust, and then just like that, it's gone because of a situation or a mistake or a choice or whatever, and trust is a bedrock of relationships. I mentioned marriages a while ago. Those of you that are married today, if there was no trust in your marriage, that marriage would be shaky. Amen? I mean, it would be. That element of trust is so important. If you can't trust someone, if you can't put yourself out there and take a risk of being hurt, then you will never experience the fullness of that designed relationship, especially in marriage. And so today, you know, as we look at this, and, you know, there's a couple things that right off the bat, before we get started, a couple things that make it really hard for us to trust. One of them is what we see, okay, and then who we are. And kind of what I mean by that, you know, someone says that they're going to do something, and I see that they didn't do it. I mean, you can physically see that didn't happen, and so that really debilitates or it kind of breaks that trust level. Who we are. Sometimes our personality, sometimes experiences in our life make it hard to trust people and what we see and who we are. Those are a couple of things, you know, bad experiences, whatever. But as a Christian, we're instructed to stretch ourselves and to bend and to learn how to trust. Today we're going to go to the book that's called the Love Chapter. In the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and Paul in this chapter exclusively talks about love. Now, this verses from this Bible typically get used at weddings. Maybe your wedding, you know, verses from this got read at yours. I love to use this because not just because it's the love chapter, because I mean this really speaks, and we're going to use some of those verses today. And there's one little word inside of these verses that we have to grab. And this chapter's not just for married couples. And this is talking about, you know, because if you go back into the Bible, you know, where Jesus, you know, the two greatest commandments, to love God with everything that you have, everything that you are, everything that's inside of you, you know, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And the second greatest commandment is likened into it. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we're talking about love, this is just kind of an extension or an explanation, you know, of that kind of love. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And so... He begins to explain what love is, and so let's go there just really quickly and just read a few verses in chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 4 through 6 first, and this kind of just kind of sets all this stuff and stuff up and kind of, you know, lets you know love is patient. I mean, think about this, and you can think about it today when we're talking about relationships. I want us to be really open. We're talking about relationship with our spouses, relationship with our kids, relationship with our families, our workplace, in church, wherever it might be, in a community, on your block, okay, at school, anything, okay? But thinking of it this way, love is patient. That's tough right there in itself. Love is patient. Love takes time for people. And sometimes, you know, you've got to wait on things that are worth something. Love is kind. That's a good one. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Verse 5, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, which means, you know, you're not loving people for the benefit of yourself. You're not loving people to build yourself up or to make yourself feel any better. It is not not easily angered. That one's kind of funny. I mean, if you really think about it, especially in marital relationships, anger seems to be a very prevalent thing in marriages sometimes. And when we allow anger, this is just kind of a side note in your marriage, when you allow anger to be a greater emotion than love, you're in trouble. Doesn't mean that you can't get angry, you know, because you've heard me preach on that before. Anger's fine as long as you control it. But when anger jumps above love, you're in trouble. And it keeps no record of wrong. This is a really good one, really good one here too, because, you know, you think about it, you know, no records of wrong. And I'm just going to be blunt and honest because I actually was here at one place in my life. Some of you maybe are in a relationship with a filing cabinet. This is kind of deep and tough, but it's reality. You file every single thing that your spouse or your friend or your family member or your coworker does away. And you save it so you can go back and look it up later so you can bring it back against them and use it again. Yeah, Pastor Ron, that's tough. Yeah, it's pretty tough, but I'm being honest. This whole thing has been about relationships, to be honest with you, this whole series. You know, something happens, and let's say in your marriage, and then that situation happens, but you can't just deal with that situation. You got to go pull the filing cabinet up, and you got to flip through all the things that are similar to that and say, but back in 2009, on July 17th, you did this. And that's tough, but, you know, the Bible says that love keeps no record of wrong. And so, you know, love rejoices in truth. And that means that love is not trying to catch someone doing something wrong. I mean, and just you think about that. And I knew you were going to be late, or I knew that you wouldn't do what I asked, or I knew that you weren't going to come through. Love does not spend its time trying to catch someone doing something wrong. True love, okay, spends its time trying to catch someone doing something right. Think about that. Trying to honestly look for the good in people and the good in your relationships. And I'm not saying that the bad won't make itself, you know, stand out in front of you. But if all we're looking for is bad, if all we're focused on is negative, if we're consumed by that way of thinking and that type of distrust, then that's what we're going to see. It's what we're going to get. And it is what is going to be implanted and invested into your relationships. So right here, Paul gives us four quick phrases in the next verse that sums up this whole thing of trust in verse 7, okay? He said, well, Pastor Ron thought this was about love. It is, but look at this. Look at this. Verse 7, love, it is love. It always protects. Everybody say always. That is a key word in this whole message today. Always protects. It always what? Trusts. Love always trusts, even when there's reason not to trust. Love always hopes, which means that you don't ever give up. There's no give up in it. There's always a hope for something to change. There's always a hope for something to get better. There's always a hope to actually trust. And it always perseveres, which means that true love, true godly love, the way He designed us to love other people, If we truly apply that to our lives and try to do and live our life in that way, it will always persevere no matter what the situation or circumstance. So here's the deal. Here's just three statements. We look in this that summarize this whole idea. Number one, love gives the other person the benefit of the doubt. If we look at this right here and we read those four things, okay, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. It always gives the other person the benefit of the doubt. Where there is a discrepancy, love gives the benefit of the doubt. Number two, love looks for the most generous explanation for the other person's behavior. Some of you are really going to have to stay with me today, and I promise you I'll get back to a point here in just a minute, because some of you are sitting back there going, and you're going to say this the whole morning, well, Pastor Ron, you have no idea what this person did to me. I know what their behavior was. Okay, I'm not saying that you don't. Just stick with me. We look for the most generous explanation for other people's behavior. All of a sudden, there's a gap between what was said and what happened, and then you're stuck right there in the middle of that to fill that gap, which we'll talk about here in just a second. Love is not looking for negative, even when it's negative. It is constantly looking for positive. And number three, love chooses trust over suspicion. And we'll talk about that here in just a little bit, too. In every relationship, there are expectations. Would you agree? I don't care what relationship it is. In every relationship, whatever relationship it is, there's expectations. What do I mean by expectations? That's things that you say you're going to do. You say you're going to do this. You say you're going to be home at this time. You say that you're going to get this job done. You say that you're going to do this work for your boss. You say this is what's going to happen. So we're expecting it because of what? Because of what somebody says. Well, in every relationship, okay, there's also experiences. So you have expectations and experiences. The experience is actually what happens. Well, you said you were going to be home at this time, but you actually were home at this time. You said that you were going to do this, but you actually did this. You said you were going to fix this then, but you actually fixed this then. You said you were going to pay me this amount of money for my work, but you actually paid me this amount of money. And when this happens, every single relationship, what are you left with in between these two things? A gap. You're left with a gap in between what was said and what happened. And I want to tell you, if you don't get anything else that I say this morning, I want you to get this. It is up to you what you put here. According to Paul, and according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and according to the fact that it always trusts and always hopes and always perseveres, according to this set of scriptures, regardless of what has happened, it is up to you, it's up to me, what I put here, what I fill the gap with. Because this is what happens. You have two choices, and that's it. Two choices. And a lot of us fill the gap, assuming the worst. We forget that love always perseveres, and what has happened to me has hurt. Now listen, I'm not saying that what's happened or what's said or what's caused this gap isn't real and doesn't hurt. I will never say that. You know that. You've heard me preach it before, say it before. It's real. But a lot of times we get stuck filling the gap, assuming the worst. And this is just it's a scary, scary, scary thing to do. You know, constantly filling that gap with negativity. Well, but here's the thing that sometimes happens, because, you know, when there's a gap, we choose what goes in the gap. And maybe some of you today are saying, no, I don't choose. What they did to me is what got put in that gap. It's their fault. It's what they said. It's what they did. It's what they didn't do. That's why that's there. It's their fault. They have caused me to assume the worst. But the truth is they don't control what you put in the gap. Nobody controls how you love somebody else but you. Nobody controls how much you love Jesus but you. Told you this is so different for me, because this is just so kind of teachy for me, and I'm trying to really grasp because you have no clue in studying this week how much that I've thought about all of these things. And you know, it's just, Paul said, when it comes to love, the bedrock of all relationships, that it bends, and then it gets to the place where it can protect the relationship, where it always trusts the relationship and has hope in it. And so if this is our response, but if we go by 1 Corinthians chapter 13, then the response should be this. You believe the best. You believe for the best. Yes, they may have said this, and yes, they may have actually done this, but believing for the best that there's an explanation of why this happened. Now, let me just say something for all you people that, and let me just use this for an example, because I used to do this one really bad. Okay? And my wife will amen me as soon as she hears me say it. I would say that I'm going to be home at 8 o'clock. But it might be 8:30. Correct? Sometimes 9 o'clock. Now, I had a good explanation. So I'm not saying just go, well, Pastor Ron said I can be late. No, I'm not. If you have a problem with being late, then work on it. Fix it. But here, listen to me. The other person that's sitting back there, you can be sitting there and thinking in your mind, oh, man, this is just, well, he told me he was going to be home at 8 o'clock. Well, I'm just going to tell him because he said he was going to do this and he did this. And you're assuming the worst. What if there is a good explanation? Before that person gets to give that explanation, you've already made it bad. Believe the best. We choose what we put in this gap. And this principle works in every single area. If you have kids, you have told them to clean their rooms 100 times. And how many times do they actually clean their room? Because you, exactly. You tell them. You do. You tell them, go clean your room. You going to go clean your room? Yeah, Mom, I'm going to go clean my room. What's the experience? There's no room cleaning going on. Now, in that situation, kids, you need to assume the worst. Stay with me. That's funny. Maybe you're married and you've talked about changing your budget 100 times, but it never happens. Or, you know, it's all this. Listen, Paul says love is always looking for an opportunity to believe the best instead of assume the worst. And did you know this, that research actually shows that in healthy relationships, both parties will go to ridiculous lengths to believe the best. In healthy relationships, both parties will go to ridiculous relationships to always love, to always hope, to always trust, and to always persevere. In the best marriages, the best working relationships, the best parent-kid relationships, the healthiest relationships work at this. And did you know really at the end of the day there's nothing gained in refusing not to trust? We add just as much turmoil to our life as others. And here's why. Just really quickly, suspicion is an expression of rejection. Suspicion is an expression of rejection. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you say this? Why didn't you tell me this? Why didn't you come into my office first? Why? When you feel like I or anyone else is suspicious of you, you know what we do? You close down. You immediately begin to invert. It is an internal protective thing. God designed us as these acceptance magnets. That's how God is. And we are designed in whose image? God's. Even when people hurt God, even when people turn their back on God, even when people don't trust God, what does God do? He does. He does. And I can prove it. Every single person in this building sitting here right now today can think of somebody that they know that God is using today that at one time their back was turned on God. God, He trusts us when we commit to Him in that way. Suspicion communicates rejection. So when you choose to assume the worst, when you choose to put that in your gap and assume the worst, anytime you communicate, I don't trust you, you are a part of shutting down that relationship. Ooh, that's reality. Because we no longer love at all costs. Okay? We're no longer a part of that or bending because of love. And it's a powerful thing to look at someone and say, I want to trust you. That's powerful. To look at somebody that you don't trust, that trust has been broken, and say, I want to trust you. And it's far different than pulling out a filing cabinet and going back 10 years to what that person did to you and reminding them of it. You know, and once again, Pastor Ron, maybe you don't understand what this person did, or you don't know what my spouse did, or you don't know what my kid has done. It hurt. It was wrong. It broke my trust, and I don't think that I can get past that. And you know what? I'm sure that it did hurt. I'm sure that it did change your trust. But listen, no matter how bad, no matter how big this gap is, you choose what you put in this gap. And you're either going to put this or this. This will leave you miserable and everyone else. This gives you hope of persevering because of love. Because let me tell you something. This is what, do you think God always assumes the worst of people? I can promise you that this is God, because this is the whole basis of why God sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, all us sin and not heads that live down here on earth, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He is not assuming the worst for our lives. He loves us in such a way that he believes the best for each and every one of us. Once again, an example of Jesus in this application. And listen, I've been hurt by people. People, I've lost trust in people, but no matter how bad, no matter how big the gap, we choose what we put there. No one forces that. So, okay, when we communicate, I don't trust you, even when that person deserves it, okay, we communicate rejection. And they may deserve it, but that if that relationship is important enough to you, if it's important enough, and once again, marriage, work, kids, school, I don't care what it is, if it's important enough to you, okay, then listen, it deserves our intentionality in giving this trust. So what happens when we can't do this? And I want to deal with this, because there are still people that say, and even sometimes in my life, so what happens when we can't get to this place? What happens when our trust has been broken? What happens when it's so bad, when it hurts so bad, and something's just happened so bad? Well, this does happen, okay? It does happen. When the gap gets wider and wider and wider, and this trust thing isn't working, and the answer that, you know, is just, it's just tough. Well, this is it. When you can't choose to trust, then you must choose to confront. When you can't choose to trust because of what's happened, then you must choose to confront. And I'm going to go back to Jesus here. Whew. I'm going down before the day's over. I want to go back to Jesus, because that's where we should go anyways. Amen? Matthew chapter 18. And I want to look at this really quickly, because this is a pretty good example of what we're to do in these situations. If a brother or sister sins, a brother or sister, and if you look at this, and it's not just sinning against God. If a brother or sister comes, and does something wrong to you, it's bad, whole trust breaking, relationship breaking, whatever. Okay, when that happens, okay, go and point out the fault just between the two of you. Now we miss this. This is one of the most overlooked applications that the Bible has. It is. When someone does something to you, now this also applies for people that sin against God. All of this, we come into this whole pot thing together. When they do something to that point to break your trust or to begin to break something with God, if you see somebody's life they claim to be a Christian and something's wrong, then it's our responsibility to go to them in a loving way. But at the same point, if somebody comes to you and does something to you, it is your responsibility to go to that person. Just the two of you. That's how this whole thing's begin. And Jesus knew that this was necessary and that we would have to do this. Because you know why? If you don't confront, you'll gossip. One of the biggest ways to break somebody's trust is to gossip about them. It is. We don't talk to, we talk about. And then we get into the grudge thing. Remember the grudge thoughts I had a couple weeks ago? And you start thinking thoughts about this person. Well, they shouldn't have said this about me. I can't. How dare them go out there? And they don't even really know what's going on in my life. When Jesus is telling us, when there's an issue of trust, when there's an issue of something being broken in a relationship, go. Talk to him about it. Just the two of you. Now, it goes on to say, go ahead and finish that in 18 when you get home today. Good reading. If that doesn't work, then you take somebody with you. And if that doesn't work, then you can go to the church. And if that doesn't work, then there's a system that Jesus lays out. There's an application, okay? We get into this grudge thing and this mind thing. And, you know, well, I'm going to tell you how that is, and I'm going to tell you. And then let's just say it's your spouse, and they've done something to you. And then they walk in and go, hey, baby, how you doing? It all changes. When inside your mind, you're like, man, I just love to tell you exactly how I feel. But you've got the smile on going, oh, man, it's great, baby. Oh, life's good. I love you. You know? And it's just like this. Listen, that's not right. And we get to this place, you know, when the other person sees, or maybe this could be at work. And they can, listen, you communicate this stuff with your actions. What's wrong?
Nothing.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Okay, you get suspicious, and that gets telegraphed, and then we're like, well, what's wrong?
Nothing. What's wrong?
Nothing. Then the house begins to shake, and the plaster starts falling off the wall, and it was, what's wrong? Let me tell you what's wrong. And then we lash out in a way that we're not supposed to, that does not be a symbol of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 love. We're taking perseverance and we're throwing it out the window, and hope out the window, and trust out the window, and all of that is gone. And it's just like, wham. People know. The moment there is a gap in the what's going on here, okay, with what's going on here, with the expectations, and when there is a gap and it begins to give you this kind of a feeling. I think Jesus gave the best example and application. Go sit down and talk to the person. Because you know why? When we don't do it, when we do this, when we assume the worst in these situations of trust and distrust, and we assume the worst and start making these things up in our mind, 99 times out of 100, what we put in our mind has nothing to do with what happened. And you know what? You know where we really feel bad? It's when we've assumed the worst for so long, and then we finally go talk to the person, or something happens and you're kind of forced into it. And then you sit down and you hear that there was a good explanation, and if we actually would have believed the best instead of assuming the worst, it would have all been taken care of. But then they tell us exactly why there was this gap. And then we're left sitting back going, oh, I didn't know that. No, you didn't know it because you didn't ask. You just assumed the worst instead of believing the best. I'm almost done. Some of you may say, well, Pastor Ron, I'm not a confronter. Me neither. I hate confrontation. I'm a compassionate person. I don't like to confront people about anything. But I'm getting better at it. And I have learned, with the help of my wife and God, that when we take on those situations in compassion and love and under God's direction, that it will solve and keep most problems and close most gaps from ever happening. By believing the best, believing there is a good explanation. And if you don't like confrontation, you'll actually be better at it, by the way. Only 5% of people are confronters. Only 5% of people, when they look at confrontation, see that it's coming, go, okay, here we go. Seriously, you'll be better at it. Healthy confrontation is good, okay? It's good. You know, don't gossip. When there's a trust issue in a relationship, you go to that person and then you talk, okay? So in every relationship, there's expectations and experiences, and that leaves a gap, and we choose what goes up in the gap. And Paul says, to the uttermost, love in a way that bends and believes for the best, okay? And Jesus says, when it's too hard to confront, ask for an explanation and believe for the best. And that's the thing. When you ask for an explanation, believe for the best. Go to that person and say, listen, I'm really struggling with a trust issue right now, but I'm going to believe that you know, you've got an explanation, and help me out with this. If you go in saying, I don't trust you and you did this, man, don't be doing that. Just sit down calmly, lovingly. Man, I'm just struggling with this right now. Can you help me understand why there's this gap? And, you know, most of the time you'll be able to sit down and talk it out. And, you know, maybe there'll end up being some discrepancies or differences. But What did Paul say love always does? It always perseveres. It always perseveres. This morning as we leave, I want to leave you five things. This is a challenge again. By the way, how did everybody do with their rest challenge last week? I hope pretty good. And I actually did really well with mine and enjoyed it. And Lacey and I both really, really tried hard to stay with this. And I enjoyed my time. If you didn't take your time to rest last week, then I challenge you to keep doing it. You know, I challenge you to take a day off and enjoy life, enjoy God, and do some different things, and leave your Facebook and Twitter and email, just throw it away for a day. Get rid of it. It was there the next day, I promise you. In fact, I didn't even have the urge the next day really to get back on it for a while. And it's just, you know, yeah, it's a part of our life, but, you know, there's more to life than Facebook. There is. And but we have to lay that down to begin to experience those other things. So rest. But this morning, another challenge for you and for you and your relationships, whatever, marriage, work, friends, kids, friend, church, whatever. Okay, and I did not come up with these five things. I'll just tell you right now, these are not mine. I actually just in my study over the past couple of weeks and I saw these and these are from Andy Stanley, pastor of North Point Church in Atlanta. I love Andy. He's just a great speaker and so real. And in fact, I think we're doing an Andy Stanley study right now. That's your study, isn't it, Mike? And Twisted and just really great. He does these with his staff. He has more staff in his church than we have in our church, you know, in his staff. He has over 300 people on staff. These are things that they do weekly, okay? And the more I read them this week, the more I felt I needed. These aren't things that I have accomplished. These are things that I read and thought, you know what? I need to do this. These are applications that come from the Bible, okay, that are part of this reading. Love always perseveres, it always trusts, always, you know, all this stuff. And so I want to share these with you today, and they'll be on the screen. You can write them down really quick if you want to, because I believe this will help us in our relationships and help us in our trust. Number one, when there is a gap between what I expected and what I experienced, I will believe the best. I will not start out assuming the worst. I will start out believing the best. I will start out believing that there is a good explanation, and that person that I'm struggling in that trust area with, I'm going to apply 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 into that situation and into that relationship, and I'm going to look for love to persevere through it, believing the best. Okay, now that's going to change. Have to change some of our mindsets, but I'm going to decide right now that when you disappoint me, I will believe the best. Number two, when other people assume the worst about you, I will come to your defense. When other people assume the worst about you, and I'm telling you from your pastor to you right now you take the I and transform it. When I hear somebody speak about you, I will come to your defense. If I am in their presence, I give you my word as your pastor and your friend that I will defend you. Until I have reason not to. And this is what I mean. When you hear someone coming down on another person that you know is not quite right, then you will step in and say, wait a minute. It could be that there's an explanation and it's not what you assume. Step in and apply 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. You know what? I'm gonna throw one in here really quick. Go home. Write out 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. You can do it on a small piece of paper and plaster it somewhere where you will see it every day. Every day. It could be that there's another explanation and it's not what you assume. Don't always assume until you know. Believe the best for other people. Number three, if what I experienced begins to erode my trust, okay, if this is actually what happened, and because of what actually happened didn't match what was said, and it begins to erode my trust, then I will come to you. I won't wait. I will do what Jesus said to apply in Matthew chapter 18. I will just, in compassion and love, now don't go lashing out at people. But you can call somebody on the phone or you can come to somebody and say, look, can we talk for just a minute? And I just got this issue and, you know, I know you can help me out with it. But I will come directly to you. I will not speak about you. And if this gets hard for me, and if this trust thing is shaken, then I'm going to come to you. Okay, number four. When I'm convinced I will not be able to deliver on a promise, I will inform you ahead of time. And I'm going to be really bluntly honest with you. This one's tough for me because of my schedule, because sometimes I get so busy going, I get busy. And things happen, and you know, my directive or my thought process, maybe I'm supposed to do this or talk to this person or contact this person, get sidetracked over here. And there may be at some point in time over here that I'm going, boy, I really should have took care of this over here. But I keep right on going when it probably at that moment to close this gap, I need to stop and take care of that and just say, listen, I know that I was supposed to do this. I know that I said, I know that I gave you the expectation, but because of this that's going on, you go ahead and give them a reason to believe for the best, the right, and say, I'm not going to be able to take care of that right now. I'm not going to be able to do this right now. But I will inform you ahead of time. When I know I'm about to create a gap, I'll let you know. By the way, that's a big one in marriage. And number five, last one. When you confront me, and you put yourself in this statement, I'm not just saying these about me. When you confront me about the gaps that I have created, I will tell you the truth. When you confront me, because you know something? What does true love have to have? Two people. If one person is honest and the other person is not, you have a gap. If that person is bold enough and loves you enough to come to you and sit down and say, man, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? The least that we can do is be bold and brave enough to sit down and say, yeah, I can. If there's nothing to it, fine. If there's something to it and you may have to humble yourself a little bit to work and close this gap, love always perseveres. Now, I know there's some extreme situations out there, but most people want to be trusted. I'm just telling you. And I know that that has to be earned, but when we look at someone and say, I want to trust you, it speaks huge, okay? Even if you're married to the worst of the worst, and you say, I want to trust you, that is the most direct route to finding out if they're trustworthy. And the quickest way to turn someone who is trustworthy into someone who is not trust them. And I believe that's why Paul knew that this was an extreme thing. I believe that's why Jesus talked to us about confrontation. Now, real quick. Once again, you should never trust people more than you trust God. Never. God will never let you down. The Bible talks about this. People will fail us. Your spouse will fail you. Your spouse that loves you beyond loves you will mess up. They may say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. Your kids will fail you. Your coworkers will fail you. Church people will fail you. Sunday school teachers will fail you. Pastors will even fail you. School teachers, people will fail us, but not God. Not God. But the one thing you have to have to build this relationship with God or any other relationship with any other person is trust. You got to trust. You got to trust. So if you're here today and you know you're a person who struggles with trust, even if the reason that that distrust is in your relationship is legit, here's another challenge. I want you to go home today after church. You don't have to tell nobody this. You just go home, stand in front of your bathroom mirror, shut the door, lock yourself in there, and look in the mirror, and out loud, three times, say this. I have a hard time trusting people. I have a hard time trusting people. I have a hard time. Maybe it is me. Maybe it is my situation. Maybe it is my issue. And when you realize this and you have a hard time with this, you can get to the place where you can choose to believe the best and help fill these gaps in a positive way, in a Jesus way. For the rest of us, you may be here today and you can trust anyone, man. You're the one of the people that pick up hitchhikers running down the road. It don't matter who they are. You know, you trust anything, anybody, anything, except for that one person. One person. One person that you struggle to apply 1 Corinthians 13:7 to. That one person. That friend or that coworker, that whatever. Well, if I would do, you know, this is just a mess. It's their problem. That's why I have the gap. And if they would do this, then I would do this. And if they would say this, then I would say this. But we can only control what we say and what. And Paul says love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love bends, love wins. Maybe it's time to sit down across from this person and simply say, I want to trust you, but I'm struggling. Help me. Help me. And if you forget every bit of this today, if you get in a situation where you're struggling with somebody and something that they have done or anything of the sort, every relationship, regardless of who it's with, whether there's a gap, how big the gap is, what caused the gap, whether you created it or somebody else created it, there is one other application that Jesus gives us in his word. And it's found in the book of Luke, and it is simply this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Application is everything. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Thanks for being patient. I know this has been a little bit long, but I really felt like it was really, 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 really important. When there's a gap, you love, you trust, you bend, you extend to them exactly what you would want them to extend to you. Trust, it's a choice. It's your choice. Father, thank you for this day. I'm thankful, God, that there is trust. God, first, that we can trust you, but God, also that you trust us. You do. We don't deserve that because we mess up all the time. But God, somehow, some way, and it's because of love, your love, God's love, that you can. That it always perseveres. And God, I believe that if we're to truly love others the way that you desire us to, then trust has to be a part of that relationship. Whatever that relationship may be. And God, today there's some of us that struggle with that. And God, honestly, today there's some of us right here today that struggle first and foremost and right off the bat with trusting you. And God, I know this, if we don't first trust you, we'll never trust ourselves, we'll never trust anyone else. So with every head bowed this morning and every eye closed, if you're here today and that trust factor begins with your trust of God, maybe something's happened in your life, and maybe, I don't know, you thought God wasn't there, or maybe just something is just messed up, and it's just kind of shaken that trust just a little bit with God. And I tell you that his trust of you has not been shaken. It's just respectfully saying, it's yours with him. But it begins with trusting God, this relationship with him, fixing all this. You know, it begins with him. And if you're here this morning, And you need to make that decision. You know your heart's pounding. You just kind of feel it inside of you. Man, I got to trust God. I really need to trust God in this situation in my life and with my entire life and make him my Savior and my best friend. And well, that's a big thing for me. It's a big stretch for me because I don't really understand it. And I've kind of been hurt before. And maybe you've been hurt in church before. Maybe a Christian's hurt you or said something. And it's caused you not only to not trust Christians, but more importantly, not trust God. And you just got these whole thoughts. But listen, today you can break that and begin to persevere because of the love of Jesus. And that's really what it's all about anyways. And so if you're here today and you need to begin that trusting relationship with God, whether it's for the first time or the 50,000th time because of something that's been broken, would you wave at me really quick and say, that's me? Nobody looking around. I see one. Anybody else? So this is just an honest thing. I see that. I see that. That one. That one. That one. Anyone else? Just honesty. You can trust him. It's up to you, even in this gap that you've created between you and God, to believe the best or assume the worst. You have to believe the best. You have to believe that he's there for you, that he'll never leave you, that he'll never forsake you. He'll always be there. And so this morning, cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. Ask Him to help you bridge this gap. Ask Him to help you close this thing. Tell Him that you'll believe in Him. Tell Him, you know, tell Him to forgive you for your disbelief, to forgive you for that sin. Go directly to God this morning and begin that relationship of trust. If you're here this morning, you know, and that's a commitment that you make, make sure that you tell somebody, please. Man, affirm that in your life. Make yourself accountable. It's a big deal. It starts with God. If you're here this morning and this is an area that you struggle, maybe there's a particular situation right now in your life. Right now in your life with somebody, and you're just struggling. You're struggling, and it's making you miserable. Maybe you love this person, and maybe it's just one of those relationships, one of those situations, and you want to trust, but it's just hurt, it's just hard. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not dishonor, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. You got to believe that. You have to trust in that. And then you have to apply that to your life and live it. God, thank you for this day and for life. Right now, God, I just pray for these few moments. God, for it to be just a time of reflection, a time of thought, God, a time of searching inside of ourselves and allowing you to search inside of ourselves. And God, if there are people here today that are struggling with this issue of trust because of hurt, because of pain, because of an action, whatever it may be, that have a gap in their relationships that deal with expectations and the actual experiences, God, I pray, God, that they'll begin to believe the best because of you. God, that they will that they'll begin to kind of change this way of thinking and this whole thought process back to this point, God, of closing this gap in the right way, the way that you do. And that's with love. It always, always, always perseveres. God, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name.